We are now headed into the busiest, I believe it is the busiest travel time of the year, and we thought it would be a good opportunity, a good time for us to talk a bit about holiday travel, particularly for the benefit of those people who will be flying and who have not flown since September 11th, because certainly things will be different when you get there to the airport, the security measures and so forth. There are some new and some different things in effect that you'll want to know about. So we thought it'd be a good time to talk about it, and we have as our guest this morning William Travis. He is an editor at the Fodor's Travel Guides. As we talk, of course, you're certainly welcome to give us a call if you have questions, comments. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. We also have a toll-free line good anywhere that you can hear us, and that is 800-222-9455, 333-WILL, and toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Those are the numbers to call. Mr. Travis, hello.
Good morning.
Thanks for talking with us today.
No problem.
Well, there seems to be some good news for people who are going to fly, and that is that there are a lot of really good fares out there, and that, in fact, has led people back to flying, although apparently the level of air traffic is still not what it was. It's not what it was, certainly, before the 11th of September.
Correct. Yeah. And I think one of the reasons there has been, apart from the fares, it is a great time to fly. Security is a lot tighter. And, it seems like, from my own experience and from many of my colleagues and friends, it's just, it's a safe time to fly. But that's true what you had said, that there aren't as many flights, and there are travel delays. I mean, you're going to have to arrive. I mean, there's much more planning involved, I think, now. You're going to have to arrive in the airport for domestic flights, 2 hours earlier as opposed to the pre-9/11 1 hour, and international flights as much as 3 hours. I've heard stories of schedules being changed. It's very important that you keep in contact with your travel agent. In fact, my advice is always to book through a travel agent. So, if for instance your flight is rescheduled, you can quickly call and find out the next flight, and they can, ably assist you. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's definitely different. But I think overall, it's safer and more pleasant way to travel right now.
Yeah. I think it's interesting that even as you mentioned, that people have to understand that they need to get to the airport sooner, that the business of checking in and security screening may take longer than it did in the past. Although at the same time, what I have read is that because the overall air traffic is down and there are fewer flights, that actually the on-time record for the airlines is better than it was before.
Yeah, I've heard that as well. When there isn't a schedule change, and I think that's I don't hear that as often. But the on time flights are it's a lot better than what it was, and despite having fewer flights. But really, planning is the issue here. Traveling light, not bringing much on with you, not packing a lot in your carry on luggage, because airport scrutiny is higher than it's ever been. If you're, especially during this holiday season, if you're traveling with wrapped gifts and you want to carry those on, they'll be unwrapped and be inspected. And it's better not to carry them on. If you must wrap them beforehand, ship it ahead, or check it with the rest of your bags and unwrap it and let it go through.
And otherwise, I guess if you're going to carry it on, it's got to be better that it's unwrapped.
Right.
And then you wrap it when you get wherever you're going to.
Right. It's essential that it's unwrapped, because you'll waste your time, because it will be open.
Okay. Well, I'm sure there's some other things we can talk about, but we have a caller here, and I don't want to make that person wait, so we'll get right to them on our line number one right here. Hello.
Is this me?
Yes.
Just a couple things that I ran into about a month ago. If you are thinking of traveling, check your driver's license and make sure it is not expired, because many of us use our driver's licenses less since we use debit cards, and they will not let you fly without a valid driver's license.
Yeah, that's true. I've heard that as well. And it's best if you have a passport.
Mm-hmm.
But you need to have a photo ID. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, another thing is, for all of you curious people out there that would think it would be really cool to photograph all the soldiers with their automatic weapons in the airports, don't do that, because I did that, and they surrounded me and made me pull a film out of my camera and give it to them.
Oh, dear.
And it's clearly marked, but I just thought, you know, all these camoed guys walking around with automatic weapons in the airports in Orlando, it just seemed so amazing. It was like a Life magazine photo. One they do not want to be taken. So
yeah.
It's really quite amazing. So just a couple of hints.
Well, that's a good thought. So were they in the airport, were there signs up that said, don't take any pictures?
Yes, clearly marked, and the officers pointed at them. They were rather stern as well. You know, I grew up in the 60s, never saw automatic weapons being carried around airports, so I was just thinking this would make a great photo. Nope. Lost the whole roll.
Yeah, it's no joking matter. I mean, and they're confiscating, even and when you go through security, even carry-ons, like if you have a nail file, a Swiss Army knife, that type of thing, it's being confiscated. Security all around is really tight. It's not a joke.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, thanks for the tip. And I guess that does indeed get at something that I wanted to ask, because I remember that when after the 11th, when planes started flying again, the travel advice was that people had to be very careful about not only what they had on their persons or what they might have in their carry-ons, but even what they put in their check bags.
Right.
And anything that could be even remotely construed as a weapon, even apparently nail clippers were being confiscated. Is all of that stuff still true?
Well, I know at least for carry-on it is. I think if it's packed in your bag, I think something as a nail clipper might go through. But, you know, I wouldn't chance it. It's not worth the time. It's not worth your time to do it. Many of those things, all of those, you can get at your destination. You know, it's just not worth it. I haven't heard of anyone, any bags being pulled off of the conveyor belt and held because there was a nail clipper in there, but it wouldn't surprise me. You know, it's just something that's not worth the risk. I mean, there's a holiday travel. I mean, it's going to be busy enough, and the last thing you want is more delays.
Sure. Do you think that this kind of heightened security and these sort of concerns and restrictions that about what you can take on that hadn't been the case in the past, do you think that now that's going to be just the way it is, that these are permanent changes?
Well, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. I mean, I would like to think it's permanent. Until a better system is designed where you can carry some of those things on and maybe there's a way to contain those, or if they have new restrictions that are set. But I think it's going to be this way for a while. I heard something on the news last night that scholars are drawing this sort of Cold War analogy. And in some ways, I think that's going to be, you know, with the airlines. I mean, it's people are going to be really careful what's being brought on board. And I think there's serious precautionary measures that are going to be taken. I think they're going to be around for a while.
Our guest this morning in this part of Focus 580 is William Travis. He's an editor at Fodor's Travel Guides, and they do indeed have a big series of travel books for various places around the world. And if you're interested in finding out what they offer, of course, you can head down to the bookstore and take a look at them. And questions here are welcome. Questions about travel, whether they're this kind of subject that we've been talking about here, or if you have more general questions about travel, I'm sure that Mr. Travis will do his best to answer your question. The number, if you're here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. That one's good anywhere that you can hear us, 800-222-9455. And we have another caller here. This is line two. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
Actually, I have a comment, something that I just learned recently. The new FAA restrictions for diabetics mean that a doctor's note will no longer suffice for carrying insulin and syringes on board. It must be the original insulin vial in the original box with the prescription label. Also, people who are testing their blood glucose, whether they're on insulin or not, must be prepared to have their lancets capped and show the meter itself when on board. The same goes for glucagon kits. They must have the original typed prescription label on them. The FAA was concerned about forgery as far as doctor's notes and prescriptions.
That's an excellent point, and I wonder if people carrying that should identify it right away.
Yes.
Be upfront with security officials and say, this is what I'm carrying with me, and here's all my information.
This is what I did when I traveled out to San Francisco. Right up front at the security lineup, I said, you know, here. And at that point, and that was just the end of November, I had a doctor's prescription note. And it was when I returned from San Francisco after Thanksgiving, I got an update from a medical journal that I subscribed to with the new FAA restrictions. And I was very surprised that doctor's notes and prescriptions are no longer being taken because of forgery concerns, and that it requires that you keep your insulin in the box with the original prescription pharmacy label, same for glucagon kits. Lancets must be capped, and you can't carry lancets without showing the glucose meter. So I was able to just simply say, look, this is what I have. I'm a diabetic. This is, you know, and I had no trouble. But I was very surprised when I got home and found out that my doctor's note would no longer suffice, so that I'd advise all diabetics, hang on to your insulin boxes with the original label if you're going to be traveling with it.
Will security just confiscate them?
I believe they will at this point if they're following the FAA recommendations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very good point.
And I did manage to get my nail clippers through my in with my cosmetics on the conveyor belt, but not on my carry-on. I spoke with my travel agent before I left to find out what the current restrictions were on carry-on, and I just went through all my carry-on stuff before I even got to the airport. I didn't have any trouble.
Excellent.
Okay. Very
so
good.
I'd recommend folks be prepared ahead of time, and if you've got a medical condition or something that requires you to carry equipment, just show it up front.
Okay. Well, thanks very much
Thank
for the
you.
Time. We appreciate that. And again, I'm sure that that you would echo the comment of the caller that people should, beforehand, if they have any questions about this, they certainly can talk about that with their travel. I mean, they can call here and talk about it with us, but they can also take that up with their travel agent, and they ought to be able to advise them and give them whatever the current information is about what it is that you can take and what you can't, because there's no sense in having a delay and also having them confiscate something when you could just leave it at home and
absolutely. And she made I echoed everything she said, especially packing very light and not risking anything that could be considered threatening, nail file, corkscrew, razor, any of that. And it's just pack it or not bring it at all, but don't carry it on. It's because it will hold up. And there was just something recently here in LaGuardia, I believe last week, where someone had something, and I don't recall what it is, in their carry-on, and it just delayed the whole flight.
Huh.
You know, they're really serious about this.
Yeah. Something else that apparently is also true is that the metal detectors that people go through, they have jacked up the sensitivity on these things. And so it's possible that if you have metal on your person, that is, metal that you would wear ordinarily, a big belt buckle. Also, apparently, people who have button flies on their blue jeans, like I do, have been cautioned about that. Other sorts of things are maybe likely to set that off, that in the past that you should have been able to walk through and it wouldn't have been a big deal.
That's a concern now, because you are going to be patted down. You may be patted down when you're checked, but if you wear clothing with any metal on it, metal buckle, and as you said, Gene, with metal button flies, and even, and this is a new one because it actually happened, bras with a that are wire supported, those will set off a metal detector. That was just something I found out this morning, and you know, any bit of metal that you have on you, I mean, don't risk it.
Okay. And other questions, questions here, welcome. 333-WILL, toll-free, 800-222-WILL. Something else that you touched on, and again, I think is worth maybe underscoring, is that one of your best sources for information and assistance should be the agent, that travel agent that you work with. So for that reason, one of the things you advise is wherever you go, make sure you take their telephone number. And any other numbers that you might want to get, any people that you might want to get in contact with, particularly a travel agent, have that number with you.
Absolutely. And many travel agents have a 24-hour emergency phone number. So in an event of a cancellation or any sort of delay, you can contact them. If you have a cell phone, you know, bring that along. Carry it with you at all times. You may need that to contact your travel agent, and it's also good when coordinating a pickup or a drop-off at the airport. Just to segue into that, vehicles near airport terminals are now closely watched. You're pulling into O'Hare Airport. You can't wait there. Of course, it was always difficult to wait there, but you can't wait there for even a minute. You'll be asked to move your vehicle. And it's best to coordinate with the party you're picking up to meet you at a off-site location. Or if you have a cell phone and you're waiting to be picked up, call the person as you're walking out onto the platform and say, okay, I'm ready. There's a lot of off-site lots. Nearly every airport has off-site lots that someone who's picking you up can park in for a short time. Mm-hmm. And then when you've arrived, you can call them and they can go get you.
Here's one that also is in the material that you sent that I was kind of amazed about. That in some airports, they're requiring people to take their shoes off before they go through the security screening.
It happens. It happens. Yeah, I don't. Now, if you're wearing a boot or something that has like a metal in its sole, they'll ask you to take that off. And I would. And also, I think like if they might think you might be concealing something underneath your foot, between your foot and the sole of your shoe. But yeah, it's been happening. I don't think it's routine, but I know it is happening.
Okay. Here's another caller on our toll-free line. Let's talk with him. Line number 4. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, hello. You know, I have been listening to your comments for the last few minutes, and I think there's definitely a need for security. But I also think there's a need for common sense. And this business about fingernail clippers and items like that, in that general vein, I think it's really ridiculous to confiscate those items, because nobody's going to attack anybody with a pair of fingernail clippers. Also, I think that there's a need for courtesy. From what I've seen, many of these people who are manning the security stations are very discourteous to the people going through those. I have had this experience just in October. I was taking an Air France flight to Paris, and the people at O'Hare Airport were very, very rude and very, very discourteous, yelling, hollering at us, that type of thing. And they really don't have any common sense whatsoever. In France, and also at O'Hare Airport, I don't think that the security is as tight as it might be. I heard of luggage that was left unattended in the first class area, and probably because it was a first class area, people thought it was perfectly okay to leave it alone. The cops didn't bother it. Nobody bothered it. I heard that that was going on. I saw only two National Guardsmen who were armed at O'Hare Airport. At France, in France, it's an entirely different situation. They have constant checks. They have passport checks. Oh, I must have gone through four or five of those, checking passports. But again, at the security area, I found that the people were very rude. They were discourteous, and they didn't display much common sense. Case in point, I carry a money belt. I do not carry this money belt around my waist because I've heard of people having these things ripped off. I carry the money belt around my shoulder under my arm as a shoulder holster. I went through that line, and there was beeping because of the fact that there's a little metal tab there that activates the zipper. The zipper itself is not metal. I was sent back, and they said, well, everything that's metal has to go in this basket. I told the lady who was saying that, I said, this is just a little metal clip here. I said, there's nothing wrong with this. No, everything has to go in a basket. Everything has to go in a basket. I took off my shirt to get that money belt off so that that could go into the basket. And the same thing with my passport pouch. That had to go into the basket. Needless to say, I took the money out of that, and I took the passport out of that before I sent it through there. I had a notion to call her attention to the little metal tab that activates the plastic zipper on the front of my pants. And I can just see her running over to some supervisor, asking him whether I should put my pants in the metal basket, in a little basket. Those are the kinds of things that I object to. I think security is great, but I also think common sense and courtesy is paramount.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying. I haven't heard too much of that, but it's something that I wonder if a lot of I think this is all new to a lot of airports and security officials, and I think there's no reason to be discourteous or rude, and I think they're just trying to get a handle on it and trying to find a way to sort of to grapple with this new sense of heightened security and heightened awareness.
I'm not taking umbrage at what you say, but I think they should be trained.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I mean, you're talking about. I mean, I think a lot of these security.
And they're not trained. They're people who obviously are hired off the street. I think they're welfare-to-work people because they certainly have absolutely no concept as to what they're doing.
Yeah, and that's something you might see in the near future where the personnel that are inspecting your bags are going to be better trained. And I agree. I think a lot of the security people are not as well paid, and they're not all trained, and they're just sort of trying to deal with this new situation. So there's going to be things like this, these incidents that are going to occur.
I appreciate the comments of the call. I got somebody else who's want to get on to. But let me just ask you real quick, Mr. Travis. If supposing that someone has a bad experience, particularly if they thought that the security people were rude or whatever, is there some way that that a person can register a complaint or at least go on record and say, look, I had this experience and I thought that it was just really unnecessary, and at least a little courtesy wouldn't hurt? Is there any way to register a comment like that?
You can go to our website at fodors.com, and we have a rants and raves section, and we have travel talk forums that you can go on there and go on record and talk and actually communicate via email to a travel expert and voice your complaint, and therefore it's a printed record and it's online, and we'll see how many we get, and hopefully we can and forward this on to the airlines and airports and help make it better.
Okay, well, that's one way at least people can register complaints. It's www.fodors, that's FODORS.com. We have somebody else here with a question back here to, this is our line one. Hello.
Hi,
yes?
Have a question about in carrying photographic material, is it better to have when with my carry-on or in the checking luggage?
Such as cameras.
Yeah, or I just wonder which radiation is stronger.
Cameras you can carry on.
Mm-hmm.
If you're I don't see any problem with that at all. There's nothing that would it would be confiscated. I wouldn't advise having film inside the camera. I'd keep the film and camera separate.
It sounds like that's the concern of the call. Is it your concern, caller, that film going through the X-rays, it's going to get exposed to the radiation, and either before you've shot it or after you've shot it, it's going to cause problems with the film?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Film, I always prefer to pack. I mean, you can carry on your camera, not a camera without film, but film I always prefer to pack. Now, the X-ray machines apparently do not damage film. That's what I've heard. That's been my experience. But I've also heard incidents where film has been damaged. Mm-hmm. So be safe and just pack the film. And if you really want to carry the camera with you, don't want to pack it, that's fine to carry on.
I have the same question related to some natural remedies. Do you know which radiation is stronger, either for carry-on or checking luggage?
That I can't answer, but that's a good question. Mm-hmm. I imagine they're both the same. But I'm not sure. I guess stronger, meaning, I suppose if it's stronger, that means, meaning more, that it'll be able to penetrate more luggage and look for something that could be considered dangerous. I will look into that. I don't have an answer for that.
Mm-hmm. And how do I find an answer for that?
You could call the airlines or you could call the airports.
Okay. And then I heard that they're recommending, I'm going to travel abroad in 2 days, and they're recommending not to have, carry-ons with too many pockets. Is that what you heard?
And yeah, I mean, travel light. What I've heard, they are, if you carry on a bag with lots of pockets, what's going to happen is those pockets will be opened. Mm-hmm. So travel light. I mean, don't bring on anything that you don't absolutely need. Pack it.
Because I'm going to go overseas with two little kids,
mm-hmm.
So I bring lots of toys, food, clothing, and
right. Okay. Well, it's best to keep it in a small bag. I mean, I know I have a child, and it's hard to travel really light, depending on the age. But again, I mean, there's only so much you can do, and there are certain necessities you always need to bring, and bring those. But, really, really think about it when you're packing. Take a little extra time and prepare and think, well, do I really need to bring this along? You know, how long is our flight? I mean, of course, you have to bring, change of clothes, that sort of thing. But, put everything out on your bed or on your table and just take a look at it and see what you really need to bring along.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. That also raises just one point that it's probably good to mention, and that is that there are apparently a lot of airlines now that aren't serving food anymore on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to think, particularly if you have children, but even just for yourself, you might want to think about bringing something to eat before you get on the plane, particularly if it's going to be a long flight.
Right. Or eat beforehand. Yeah, mm-hmm. Definitely. And that seems to be the trend. And yeah, bring something along, or, if you arrive at the airport a little early, I mean, a lot of airports have restaurants that you can have a meal in. Definitely do that.
And is that because the airlines don't want to give out plastic utensils?
That's what I've heard.
Because they're concerned that they're providing somebody with something that could be used as a weapon.
Right.
Okay.
That's what I've heard. It sounds a little odd, but that's what I've been hearing.
Okay. Let's go on here. Another caller, line number 2. Hello.
Hi.
Yes.
I'm calling from Champaign. I flew on the Thanksgiving weekend and saw the first troops with the automatic weapons. It is pretty, it's like other airports is what it's like. You go to other places, guys with machine guns and dogs are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think Americans don't take flying that seriously. Other places you go, you don't even talk to those troops. Oh, well. The thing I wanted to talk about was digital media. If you take your computer with you,
mm-hmm.
There's media called compact flash or smart media that you use for storing information that are solid state. I wonder, do you have to hand check those? Should they be in your pack luggage? And what if that pack luggage gets a good dose of radiation? Is that going to erase that?
Well, what you can do with that is you can carry that on, but you'll be expected to open it up and turn it on.
Okay, what about the media? The thing you would use to record digital information. Hand check that?
You can check that. You mean the actual, like if you were like a CD or something?
Well, it's not really a CD. It's more like a recording device.
Mm-hmm.
But it can be recorded a million times over and over again.
Right. You
like
could
a little chip almost.
You could pack that, but when you go to check in your luggage, ask the clerk at the counter and tell them that this is what's in your luggage. And they may be able to advise you a better way and say that, you know, maybe you should carry that on. But with any laptop or something, you know, you'll have to turn. You know, it's best to check, carry that on, and then just turn it on.
Do you think that a lead bag would arouse a lot of suspicion?
A lead bag.
Well, you can buy bags that are lead lined for your film, so that they don't get any radiation. If you were to pack that in your bag, do you think they'd go crazy?
I wouldn't risk it. I mean, for what purposes would you want it? Just to protect, like, if you're carrying on film, that sort of thing?
Well, the thing is, people, they won't tell you a straight answer. Will the radiation destroy your images, or won't it? Or will it degrade them at all? And if you're a professional photographer and you have money riding on this, you're not going to risk destroying your work
mm-hmm.
because some clerk at a desk doesn't know exactly. You're going to take the 100% solution and put it in a place that it can't be destroyed.
Right. Then what I would advise is tell the security people up front what kind of a bag it is and what's inside and the reason for that bag.
Okay, thank you.
All right, let's see, next line.
Yeah, I can't help stress that enough, that it's really important for any of those special circumstances to be up front about it. Tell the security people what you have.
Okay, another caller here, this is line one. Hello?
Yes, I just wanted to answer the previous caller's question, is that computer media, whether it be a compact flash or even floppy disks, really are not affected by airport security. First of all, X-rays do not affect magnetic media, and the magnetic fields from the person detector, if you have it on your person, are too weak to do any damage to those media. So your computer and all of its storage devices are fairly immune from airport security. Secondly, generally, checked baggage has a higher dosage of X-rays than the scanner of the carry-on baggage. So that's something else people should consider. And finally, the reason the airlines have cut back on meals is not because of plastic utensils. It's strictly economics. Most of the airlines still offer meals on flights over 2 hours and do serve plastic utensils. And the issue is economics of the airlines. It has very little to do with security. So I just wanted to answer those few questions.
Wonderful. Okay. Now, these are the flights that do serve food, because I've heard on domestic flights from New York to Los Angeles, there's not getting food, and that's longer than a two-hour flight. Are you talking flights abroad?
No, I flew from Chicago to Orange County and had a complete meal with plastic utensils. If you go to the American Airlines website and look at their site, they will say that any flight over 2 hours, they have meal service.
Oh, that's good to know.
And first class flights generally have some sort of snack service, even on shorter flights.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't use metal utensils any longer, but it's strictly an economic thing for the airlines. They've wanted to do away with meal service for a long time, and now because of their financial situation, this is the perfect excuse to finally do away with it. And the public accepts this as part of the security issues or airline solvency issues, but it really has very little to do with security.
Okay. Well, thanks. So, and I guess, the bottom line is that any question on this that you have, check beforehand. Ask the travel agent. Get in touch with the airline. Go to their website, whatever, so at least you'll know one way or another.
Procedures, restrictions are changing, you know, on a weekly basis. So, I mean, information given today may be different tomorrow.
All right. Let's see. Next is line, let's go to line three. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
In regard to the caller, about two calls earlier, the radiation,
mm-hmm.
The Smithsonian Institute put out a paper, actually it's a web page, dealing with the radiation used for treating mail for anthrax, which would be analogous. The recommendation was not to put photographic papers or film through any using mail that would go through that radiation. Also, not diskettes or magnetic media. So I would question the later caller's assertion that it would be not dangerous.
So you're suggesting that, based on this report, that it is dangerous. Your film could be damaged, your media could be damaged, disc, what have you.
Even developed photographs could be if they were exposed often enough. It's a cumulative.
Mm-hmm.
So if you flew from here to, say, Washington, and from there to San Diego and then back, you'd get three times the radiation that you'd get going one way.
So do you think that it's, I see what you're saying, accumulation. So if you're running the same batch of film through a number of X-ray machines, it's eventually going to get damaged.
Eventually.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I would check that web page if anyone's interested, because I think it would be analogous. And I think it's pretty hard to argue with the Smithsonian.
Yeah. What's the URL?
I don't have it with me now. And but if you get to the Smithsonian Institute, you'd be able to find it on their web pages. I think it's the botanical section. So it would be possible to find it doing a search.
Okay. Well,
thank you.
Again, thank you very much. Let's go on to our line number four. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Yes, I've dealt with this problem of film, and I tend to have my photographs, my films developed overseas. I think that they do a good job over there, and I don't have to worry about the exposure of to the film. I buy the film over there, and I have it developed over there.
Okay.
That's a good point. Have it developed where you're shooting it.
Sure, and buy the film over there, too. It costs a little bit more.
Yeah.
At least you don't have to worry about having your film fogged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, I think this kind of goes to what we've sort of been talking about, is really checking things out and it not risking anything. If you're worried about, especially like with film or computer media, if you're worried about it getting damaged, you know, maybe there's a way that you don't have to bring that, or you can, you know, do things while you're there, and this is just a good example of that.
I don't know how it works. I've never taken a tour. I tend to travel independently when I travel overseas. I travel in Italy, and I've traveled in France a number of times, and I find that this works very, very well. So that's just my comment for the day.
Okay,
great, thank you.
We'll go back here to line number one. Hello.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment. I've flown quite a lot since September the 11th, and I would make 2 points. One is that I've been told by the people on the American Airlines that, in fact, the cutting down of food, and not only food and meals but snacks, is, in fact, an attempt to save money by American Airlines, is not related to security issues, and that they've been expecting that to come for quite a while. The other recommendations I'd like to make is that for men, the best thing you can do is to shave as close to the time you go to the airport as possible, because if you're heavily bearded, you're likely to be assumed to be suspicious. And for women, rather than wearing pants or obviously short skirts, long skirts and extremely not well-fitting top garments would be appropriate, because there's a lot of inappropriate checking of people's persons when you go through the line. I just wanted to make that comment. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Do you have any follow-up you want to make on that, Mr. Travis?
No, it sounds feasible. I stand corrected with the airport utensil. I'd heard of economic reasons, but I've also been informed that there was a small security issue, and I thought that was a bit strange, but that's what I had heard. But we're getting some great calls.
Okay. Well, it certainly sounds like everybody's experience has been different. Different airports, the experience is going to be different, and there seems to be still an awful lot of uncertainty about all of these issues, what you can take, what you can't, what the effect of the screening is going to be on stuff that you take on.
Mm-hmm.
So Well, in any case,
there's always going to be isolated incidences, or you know, things that sort of pop up, and what we at Folders want to do is just help people plan and try to give them advice. So you know, hopefully that'll be they won't have to deal with any sort of hang-ups or incidents, and just sort of the safest way to travel.
Our guest in this part of Focus 580 is William Travis. He is an editor at Fodor's Travel Guides. If you have travel questions, you can give us a call, 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. Just, I want to ask you real quick about e-tickets, just because it seemed that before September 11th, that's the way that airlines wanted to go. They wanted to go in the direction, airlines, and wanted to go in the direction of paperless tickets. Mm-hmm. And I wonder whether that now has changed since the 11th and whether that means that that's not going to happen.
I think you can still get e-tickets, but it's best now that you bring your itinerary along with you, so in order to check in directly at the gate. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you will have to stand in line, and you know it may take a lot longer. And definitely, you know, check with your airline to see if e-tickets are still available. But if you do arrive, if you have an e-ticket, definitely bring your itinerary along with you.
So, well, would your advice be, if you were offered that choice, that you would say always take a paper ticket?
Well, I prefer to travel with any sort of paper. I've traveled with e-tickets, but I always bring my itinerary along. And this is even before 911. I mean, you never know if something could get lost in a computer, or there could be some sort of malfunction, anything like that. So it's always best to bring your itinerary along with you.
All right, let's go back again here, line one. Hello.
Hi, yeah, I kind of wanted to talk about e-tickets, but also at the very beginning the guest said that definitely still go through a travel agent, whereas I haven't traveled a lot lately, but what I have done is I book through, you know, Travelocity and various services, and I guess see that that you would want some help if you know something got delayed or something, but I don't know. You're at the airport, and there may or may not be a line to wait to readjust your ticket, but it still seems like I don't know. Actually, even know what kind of savings people make on that, but it's actually very convenient to book that way, it seems to me. So I was asking you why you're really suggesting travel agents, basically because, like you said, that if you get bumped or something, you have somebody to help you or make arrangements. But I don't know.
Well, I'm curious about that too, Mr.
Well,
Travis.
If there are people that are going to be maybe more resourceful or travel more frequently, and they have a better system. I mean, if you're confident in your system, then go with that. I recommend travel agents because often people don't fly as frequently, and travel agents can be a great resource. They can help you. It's a good resource if you're delayed. I've been delayed in an airport without a travel agent, and you have to, it's just like a little bit more work on your part. If you don't mind doing that, if you found in your experience that you can easily, you know, jump onto another flight, and in many times that is the case, then go for it. What a travel agent, they'll do all the legwork for you. Mm-hmm. And they can, you know, help you if because people travel all different sorts of ways, as you know. You know, so if you're traveling with two children, and you know, there's a flight delay, you may need a hotel room. I mean, these are the things a travel agent can help you with. But I'm not saying you shouldn't, you know, book flights and make travel plans on your own. But if you're concerned about any sort of delays or change in your itinerary, a travel agent is the way to go. I mean, because they can do all that legwork for you and help make your traveling easier. You know, it's just something that you don't have to worry about, because they will.
Yeah, well, I guess until the volume of traffic builds back up again, it might be reasonable to not do it now, because the bumping and the on-time factors are both down. Bring a good book, though, because I, even coming out of Baltimore, I had extra time, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so bring something good to him. And as far as the radiation thing, I think the Smithsonian page might not be that informative, and I think I concur with Rich Warren, who I guess I identified from his voice. Something that's designed to kill anthrax spores has got to be orders of magnitude stronger than something that just images. Though, as he pointed out also, the stuff that's behind for the checked baggage is much stronger, and it's probably a good idea to carry your film in the carry-on.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it's also a problem when you get into higher ASA ranges, the really fast film, 1800. That's what I understand. I don't really shoot that stuff anyway. But so who knows what kind of imaging stuff they're going to introduce in the checked area, because a lot of that stuff isn't, I think. So they are going to move towards checking, and they're probably introducing new techniques and maybe doing more volume at once, that kind of thing. So they might be introducing higher ranges. So I think it's better to carry your film. And as far as the magnetic media, well, who knows? There could be a lot of other things. Back it up before you travel, too, I guess, is the other thing. All right, thanks.
All right, well, we're going to have to stop because we're here come at the end of the time. I'm sorry we got another person we can't take, but there we'll have to leave it. People can get information from your website?
Mm-hmm. Yes, they can.
And that's www.fodors.com?
Correct.
Okay. Our guest is William Travis. He's one of the editors of the Fodors Travel Guides. Mr. Travis, thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate it.